Isn't that right? And I just like to think that God got something for that. I just like to think that the Lord got blessed. I'll mention the book table. Somebody asked me if we take credit cards. I said, man, we take credit cards. We still got a few. Anyway, we use them right up until the machine eats them and hands them back in pieces and says, you are not Mary Smith. But so my wife will be back. I'm going to mention a couple of books. This book is called The Understandable History of the Bible. That book has, I guess it's just kind of taken on a life of its own. It's been around the world. I'll tell you what happened. I was in the Philippines a few years ago. I was teaching a bunch of pastors on the King James Bible. And I'm having breakfast in this restaurant. I'm reading my Bible and eating breakfast. And this Filipino fella came by and he saw me with the Bible. And he said, are you a missionary? I said, no. I said, I'm an evangelist. He said, what's your name? And I told him my name and he goes, that sounds familiar. And I thought, right. I mean, come on, man. I'm in the Philippines, you know. I mean, I know we're not distant cousins or anything. He says, that name sounds familiar. He said, you're an evangelist? I said, yeah. He says, what else do you do? I said, you know, just preach around. And I told him what I was doing. I said, I've written a couple books. He said, like what? And that first one I mentioned, I said, understand the history of the Bible. When I said, and understand the history of the Bible, he immediately began crying. And I knew right then he'd obviously read it. But he began crying and he said, I teach in a Bible college here and I use that book as my textbook. And so that book, it is what it says it is. I had a church in Pennsylvania, and this fellow's 81-year-old Roman Catholic grandmother got saved. And she said, well, just where did the Bible come from? And they gave her that, and he said, 3 months later, she's telling them what, you know, about the history of the Bible. So it is easy to read. It really is, and it may be a help to you. Now, this one is called, you're sitting down, so you can take this. The reintroductions of Textus Receptus readings into the 26th edition and beyond of Nestle-Aulin Novum Testamentum, Greece. No, please, don't run out and buy one now. Wait till after service. You know, here, I told you there's only two Bibles. There's the Textus Receptus, as far as Greek Textus Receptus. There's what's known as the critical text, which modern translations are based on. And they tell us that the Textus Receptus really, it doesn't matter anymore. It's archaic, and it's not the best family of manuscripts. And what they found out is that their Nestle text, which is the critical text is commonly represented by the Nestle's 26th edition, had mistakes in it. And they had to correct it. And guess what they corrected it by? The Textus Receptus. They put Textus Receptus readings back into it. And a few years ago, this fellow, Dr. Bobby Adams, called me up. And he said, I understand that they put Textus Receptus readings back in the critical text. I said, yeah, they have. He said, do you know how many? I said, no, I don't. He said, I'm going to count them. And he did. And he's counted every one of them. And so you go down through here, the Gospel of John, 75 times the Gospel of John in the critical text have been corrected by the Greek text that your King James Bible is founded on. This goes through every one of them. Ephesians 5 times, Philippians 6 times, Matthew 103 times. And then you might wonder this. I know I say this all the time. You guys think I'm just kind of ragging on you. Did you ever think about this? There was never, ever, ever a time in history when anybody could ever walk up to the 27 original autographs of the New Testament and have them be in one binding. Never were all of the books of the New Testament as written by the authors in one binding. In fact, they were probably never even in one room. They were epistles. Some of them were epistles. Went to Rome, went to Corinth, went to Thessalonica. And that, you say, well then when did the New Testament get together? Well, Bobby Adams did the tough part here with this, finding out what the corrections were. And then I went through and I did a history on a collation of the Greek New Testament, how it was put into a volume. Then you say, well, what happened to it? Then we have a chapter on the corruption of the Greek New Testament, and then the cleansing of the Greek New Testament. And I'll tell you what happened. I was down in Huntsville, Alabama, a couple of years ago, and there were no less than three. Now, Huntsville, Alabama is where the Marshall Space Center is. And there were no less than three rocket scientists in that church. And this one fella, first night of the meeting, it was a Thursday through Sunday night. First night of the meeting, this guy let me know that it's rocket science. You know, he let me know that you know, he liked the King James, but that it wasn't the perfect word of God or anything like that. And of course, I hit him. But he was coming in. I'll never forget. He was coming in to church Sunday night and never made it across the parking lot. He saw me and he said, "Dr. Giff," he said, "I bought your book." He bought this book. He said, "I bought that book that you and Dr. Adams wrote." He said, "I read it last night," and he said, "it convinced me." This guy has a Bible study in the Marshall Space Center with 16 rocket scientists. He said, "I called my guys this afternoon to my Bible study. I told them, no more NIV, no more New American Standard, no more New King James. We are King James only." And so I called Brother Adams, let him know he had bagged rocket scientists. This book is called Living with Pain. The answer to your question, no. My wife did not write this. Entirely too thin. She's working on a two-volume set called Living with the Pain. But I broke my neck in 1973, and my doctor just didn't look at the x-rays. And it was 3 months before they ended up fusing my neck. And you know, if you broke your arm or leg and they didn't set it for 3 months, it'd never be right. And I was telling a preacher today, I got a recliner in this motorhome, and whenever I lay back in it, my head goes to the right. Because for years, my head was not on straight. It would lean to the right, and I lean back in that recliner so much that I've got it worn so that I lean like this. And last July they fused from 4 to 7. I have medical proof that my head is now screwed on straight. But that book has been a help to people. A lot of people have pain. A lot of it is psychological pain. I'm talking about emotional stuff you go through in life. Some of it is back pain and migraine headaches, and so that book has been a help, and it may be a help to you. And then this one I did not write, but this one we just put on our table because it is awfully good. That is called The Evolution Handbook. I will guarantee this. Now you say, "Well, that's awful big." This is condensed 3 volumes. This guy took out the frivolous stuff, and he condensed it into 1 volume. I will guarantee you that book right there will stop an evolutionist in their tracks. If you can get them right about the bridge of the nose, it will stop them in their tracks. Like they say, an apple a day, keep the doctor away. You can hit him square in the forehead. But anyway, that book, again, that book, you know, evolution is the religion of the lost world. And you know it's a religion because it takes a whole lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does simply believe that God said. I was talking to some PhD, this physicist one time, and you know when you talk to them, they won't ask you. They won't say, "No, I believe in evolution and you believe in creation." They'll always go, "You believe in creation?" You know, like, how dumb can you be? And he goes, "You really believe that God just spoke the entire universe into existence in 7 24-hour days? And guys, I knew if I dared to say yes, he would think I was just the dumbest thing on two legs. So I said, "No. 6. I think he did it in 6 24-hour days. If God created anything on the seventh day, it was iced tea. He's just kicking back and enjoying what he'd been doing for the last 6 days. But that is there. So there are other books out there. And again, just they're available to you. Also, don't forget the, I think on this table or this table, the prayer cards, if you take one of those, and the catalog. And we have 2 websites. One is samgift.com. That is my personal website. And then we have the Daystar Publishing, either .com or .org. That is the book company, the publishing company. I got to tell you this. I got this guy, this young kid, that works for me back in Cincinnati. I love him. He's great. And we have the posters. And I said, "Hey, I'd like some T-shirts with a couple posters. Look into it." Now, this is the kind of guy you ask him for, you know, you ask him for like a walnut and he brings you a tree. And he said, "Go to the website and see what we got." And we have T-shirts with posters on them. We've got ball caps with posters on them. We've got golf shirts with posters on them. We've got mouse pads with posters on them. We have got barbecue aprons We got it all, guys. We've got it all. So so you may want to go to, and we have our bumper stickers on there. Every now and then I get a liberal goes to my, I got my home phone, or my cell phone is on my webpage. And every now and then I'll get some liberal that'll call me up. I cannot tell you how much it blesses my heart to know I've upset a liberal. You know, I had those bumper stickers, and I came out on the truck we got rid of, and somebody asked me, they said, "Do you have these in magnets?" And I said, "No." I said, "Those liberals will strip the magnets off and throw them away." I said, "These are stickers." And I came out one day, and I had the one on there, "If the earth is your mother, I walk on your mother." And the corner of it was torn off. Some liberal had been trying to strip it off. Couldn't get it off. Now that is a double blessing. I said, not only am I blessed knowing that out there somewhere there is a liberal upset by my bumper sticker, but he's doubly upset knowing he couldn't get it off my truck. So, just spreading the love. All right, open your Bibles to, let me tell you, we're going to open it in just a minute. Let me explain something. I'm going to pray now, and then we will look into the Bible, and we'll talk about something tonight. Let's bow our heads, and let us talk to the author of this book. Father, it is amazing. It is amazing that any of us can talk to our Creator and call Him Father. But I sure appreciate it. And Lord God, if You'd have saved me and not made me Your son, that would have been fine with me. But it wasn't fine with You, and so You have given us so much. God, I pray tonight, You know the message that is here tonight, and I pray, God, that You will deliver the message. God, these folks did come tonight. They came because of You. They came because of Your book. They want something from You. I don't want to be the reason that they don't get it. So please, God, for their sake and for Your own, get Sam Gipp out of Your way and out of their way. Please speak to each heart that is represented. Bless these folks for being here. Please do, God, because it was nice of them to come. And they came for You, so I hope You're worshipped by their presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, let me tell you what happens. I don't know how many. I've been preaching for 37 years. I don't know how many Bibles that I have signed over those 37 years. A bunch of them. And, you know, a lot of times when you sign these Bibles, you're supposed to put your favorite verse in. I never put my favorite verse in. I don't really have a favorite verse. My favorite, you know, I guess, I get not personal. Personal verse, you know, that's my personal scripture is the entire 116th Psalm. It starts out with these four words, "I love the Lord." I'll tell you something, guys, tonight. I love the Lord, okay? Somebody may badmouth Sam Gipp to you, and they may be right. I got a lot of problems with me, okay? I know. Somebody tell him when to say amen and when not to say amen. But I'll tell you, I do. I have a lot of problems, but I'm telling you, I love the Lord. And if you read Psalm 116, it's kind of my testimony. But I only sign that. I only put Psalm 116 when somebody says, "Will you sign my Bible and put your personal scripture?" I'll tell you what I put, what I sign when I sign my name. I sign my name, and then in print, I print Romans because I want to be able to read it because my writing isn't the most legible. And I put Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14. And I do that for this reason. I don't know that everybody whose Bible I'm signing is saved. I assume, but you don't know that. And so I figure, well, if I put Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved," maybe they'll see, "Oh, what this guy put in here," and read that, and they have the potential to get saved. But I assume most of them are saved. And if they read verse 14, if it's a guy, I make 14 very bold. And that's, how should they believe in whom they have not heard? How should they hear without a preacher? And I think maybe it's a young man. Now, ladies, only men are called to preach. Okay? Don't be mad at me. I did not put in the Bible that women are not allowed to preach. So don't be mad at me. I didn't write the Bible. Had I written the Bible, I would have put that in there too. God knew what He was doing right there. Well, how does a woman preach? "Get right with God or I'll smack you." I mean, what is it? What do they say? I don't know what women preachers do. But I put Romans chapter 10, verse 14 in bold because maybe a young man will read that and get called to preach. had an interesting testimony come to me one day. This man, he was on deputation to be a missionary. And he said, many years ago, he said, I was just a little kid, and he said, you signed my Bible. You put in Romans 10, 13, and 14. And he said, you put 14 very bold. I said, yeah, that's what I do. And he said, well, I read that. He was already saved. And he said, I read verse 14, and reading verse 14, I got called to preach. But he said this. He said, it was Romans 10, 13, and 14. And he said, I am a missionary to the Romans. Going to Italy his prayer card says, doesn't say to Italy, or he says to the Romans. And so when I, you know, my personal scripture is Psalm 116. When I sign a Bible, I sign Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. But I'm going to talk to you tonight about my favorite chapter in the Bible. If somebody told me, we will allow, you're going to take your Bible away, you'll never see your Bible again, never see an entire Bible again, never ever see just the New Testament, never see an entire book, but we'll let you have one chapter. If I could have one chapter of the Bible for with me for the rest of my life, it would be the chapter that we're going to look at tonight. Look at Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to read this entire chapter. Now, don't get upset. Just be glad that my favorite chapter isn't Psalm 119. And I'm going to talk to you tonight about why Revelation chapter 4, why I like this chapter of the Bible more than any single chapter in the Bible. I'll begin to read verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither. Boy, aren't you waiting for those words. Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon as a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. Hey guys, did you ever think about this? All movie special effects have been inspired by the Bible. You know what you're reading right now? You're reading The Wizard of Oz. Come on, whoever, you ever see The Wizard of Oz? Wasn't it an emerald city? Wasn't there smoke and voices, correct? Except that this is the real thing. This is not a cheap computer-generated copy, okay? And out of the thrones proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal in the midst of the throne. And round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. The fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm going to tell you why I like this chapter. If I could have only one chapter in the Bible that I was going to have the rest of my life, I would take that chapter right there. The first reason I would take that chapter above every chapter in the book, this is one of few chapters that is all about God. You know, we say we love the Lord and He is first, but let's be honest, guys. We really do think it's all about us. We think it's all about us, and God is only up there to see to it that I have a pleasurable existence, and we snap our fingers and tell Him, would you please get down here, take care of business for me, so that everything is okay. And you know, now look, I appreciate John 3:16. Is John 3:16 not called the gospel in a nutshell? That is a tremendous passage. I like John 3:16. I like Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 14 that I just told you about. Who can't like Psalm 23? Psalm 23 is such a magnificent portion of Scripture that the lost world listens to it and reads it. By the way, they read it out of a King James. When your Christian radio station will be reading it out of an NIV, the lost world will listen to that and say, that doesn't sound like the Bible, because they know it ought to be out of a King James Bible. Isaiah 53, is that not a good passage of Scripture? I like Matthew chapter 11, verses 28, 29, and 30. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly of heart. You shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, I don't know how many times I have traded burdens with the Lord. I know that I am talking to people who have a heavy burden. I'm not going to tell you your burden's not heavy. Your burden is very heavy. It's killing some of you. You know what you need to do? Trade burdens with the Lord. Give it to Him. Give Him yours, you take His. Now you say, well, I did that, but I'm still having trouble. That's because you keep trying to tell Him how to take care of yours. And I like Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Who doesn't like 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18? I mean, who doesn't like to read about the blessed hope? Guys, I've said this for years. I will say it now. If you are not praying for the return of Jesus Christ, you will be by the time He gets here. If you are not praying for the Lord to come back, it is because even in this so-called economic depression, business is still too good for you. But I'm going to tell you that this country disintegrates into a third world nation. You know, guys, if you know anything about shifting a standard transmission, before those gears will mesh, they have to be going the same speed. Isn't that right? So you have in the transmission, you have a thing called a synchronizer, and it slows this one down and speeds this one up so that they mesh. They're like going... Now, they want a one-world economy and a one-world government. Isn't that right? Well, now, how are you going to mesh economies if we are so high and the rest of the world is like third world? And you're not going... Look, you're not going to bring Togo up to our standard. So what do? You bring us down to theirs. I'm telling you guys, you and I may end our life in a third world nation and never leave this country. So by the time the Lord gets back, you're going to be praying for the Lord to come back. And so I like 1 Thessalonians, but here's the thing about all those. We go there for us. Isn't that right? Did you ever notice anything about this chapter? You're not in here. And I know that must break your heart. You know, I see people wearing these t-shirts. It's all about me. Hey, can I tell you something? It's not about you. I saw this little girl, you know, and I knew it's cute. This little girl had a t-shirt on and said, let's focus on me. And I thought, let's not. You know, I was telling somebody the other day, I was listening to this child psychologist, and he's talking about Generation Y. And these guys, Generation Y is like Generation X with their brains beat up. Okay? I mean, these are guys like they've had a brainectomy. You think Generation X is a has-been, but Y, you don't even know. And so, and here's what they said. This guy says, Generation Y is the most inept generation we've ever had. These guys can't do anything. One of my proofreaders is a professor at Mississippi State University, teaches English Lit, and he emailed me one time and he said, this generation scares me. He said, they can't add, they can't subtract. He said, they can't think on their feet. If anything off schedule happens, they are totally destroyed. They can't do anything, just handle it. And he said, they're all computer literate. Well, sure, because a computer does everything that their brain should have been doing. So this guy said, this is the most Generation Y is the most inept generation we've ever had, but they have the greatest self-esteem. You say, why is that? Because mom and dad, all their life, told them they're a little champion. Well, you know, you're very special. No, they're not. They're not. Well, who? Well, they're my child. What makes your kid special? Why do you think your child's special? Because of yours? Come on. Let's get real. They're not... They don't do anything except what? Take things out of the drawer and never put them back. And so this generation Y, they're the most inept generation. They have the highest self-esteem. And this guy said, and they all think that someday there's going to be a reality TV program made about their life. There's not enough reality in their life to make a TV program about. And we've got this thing down to where we think it's all about us. You know what I like about this chapter? It is all about God. It is up in heaven, and they're talking about God. They're not talking about you. You know, I'm sorry, guys, but we are too impressed with humanity. You guys say you love the Lord and you love the Bible. Man, if you're someplace and you saw some movie star, even if it was somebody you didn't like, you run up there and get their autograph. Are you kidding me? Some ball player... Look, I don't know who your favorite athlete is. but I know what I'm about to say about them is true, even if they're saved. I don't know who your favorite entertainer or movie star is, but what I'm going to say about them is true, even if they're saved. You think if you met them, they'd be your buddy. They wouldn't give you the time of day. And if you dared say, "Would you come to my church with me?" they would go, "Are you out of your mind?" And the majority of them are lost, and they just as soon spit on your God and spit on your Bible as show up here one time and hear your pastor preach. And yet you look up to those people like they've actually accomplished something, and they have done nothing. They have done nothing for God, nothing for anybody else. It's all about them. And so we've all got this thing. You know what happened in this last election? I don't care if they were interviewing somebody about Obama or they were interviewing somebody about McCain. They always ask the voter this question. Now, if McCain gets in, or Obama gets in, how do you think it'll benefit you? Well, who told you it's about you? I thought there was something bigger than us. I thought it's called the United States of America, and we're supposed to vote to the advantage of our country, not our individual selves. And I'm telling you, we've gotten to the point where, well, what am I going to get? It's not about you. And we've gotten so focused. You know what this church is about? I'll tell you why I like your church. Because it's what a church is supposed to be. This church is for God. What that means is you get saved, you come here, and you know what you find out? You get saved and you come here, and after a while you go, you know, I don't think my music's right. I better change my music. You know, I don't think I'm dressing right. I better change the way I dress. You know, my jokes, you know, since I've been going to church, I'm realizing that the language I use when I get mad, here's what happens. You come into a church like this one, and you find out what you have to change about yourself to please God. Isn't that right? This Rick Warren Starbucks Baptist, those churches aren't for God. They're for the people. And here's what they'll say. Now, what would you like? Because whatever you like, we'll just change the church so it pleases you. Oh, you want to sing, 7-Eleven songs? Sure, Jesus, Jesus, woo-woo, Jesus, have a worship team and all this other stuff. And we won't sing any hymns, or we won't sing anything sacred. You just want a 20-minute sermon? Well, that's what we'll do. And we'll have an aerobics class for you. And guys, the church is not supposed to be about you. Do you understand that just about every organization on this earth is geared and focused around mankind? I don't care if it's United Way. I don't care what it is. This one is focused around God. And this chapter is about God. I like that this chapter is all about God. It is not about you. Come on, man. There's enough scripture about you. You've got them memorized. You've got them marked down. Some of you, you've got them hanging on your wall. And you know what they are? They're a scripture that is about you. Well, let's give God one. And so I like this chapter because it's just all about Him. You know the second reason I like this chapter? Look what it says. Let's pick it up about verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know why I like this chapter? Because that praise of our God is going on in heaven right now. Do you understand? While I'm talking to you, in heaven, these four beasts are sounding off. Now, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care what you do when you go home tonight. I don't care what you do anytime. I don't care if somebody gives you absolute free 50-yard line tickets to the next Super Bowl. Up in heaven, here's what's going on. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is and is to come. That goes on continuously. When that happens, as soon as that is over, then you have, look at verse 9. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne, and worship Him that liveth, forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I timed this. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty,
which was and is to come. Now the 24 elders fall down, throw their crowns, and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I didn't say it fast, and I got it done in 25 seconds. Let's say they say it slow, they make it 30 seconds. Do you understand? You know what that means? That God is getting that kind of praise twice per minute. Day in, day out. Every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year. This has been going on non-stop. Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. You know, I look at this. Now, guys, I am sorry. I am sorry. I tend to see things that other people don't see. I'm not even sure what I see is there. But leave me alone. You know, you got these 420 elders, and you got the four beasts. Let me tell you about a guy. I had in my church. This guy, I'd be preaching long hair. He looked perfectly normal, and I'd be preaching, and I could always tell when this guy got a blessing, because I'd be preaching and I'd see him. He'd be sitting right about where Red is, and I'd see he'd go like this. Now, you say, is anything wrong with that? No. No, there's nothing wrong with that, but it got my attention. Because I know that's A, and after A comes B. And so I just keep on preaching, and I'd see him do this. Now we're in trouble. When I saw him do that the second time, I'll tell you what I did. I would always look at the person sitting in front of him. Because whoever's in front of him is going to leave our church today and never come back. They're either going to leave and never come back, or die where they are sitting right now. Because here is how this would go. I'd be preaching along, and he'd go, whew. I'd be preaching along, and he'd go, whew. I'd be preaching along, and all of a sudden, man, I mean, he would come straight out of that seat like a rock and go, woo! And the people in front of him just keel over dead of a heart attack. And I know this probably didn't happen, but I can see these beasts. You got 24 seats, you know. I can see one of these beasts go, hey, you guys, you've been watching number 3. Did you notice he's always the first one down to worship? And I can see one back here going, well, he's pretty good, but guys, you have noticed number 11? I mean, 11, he's not been first every time, but he beat 3 several times. Guy says, you guys got all those eyes and you couldn't see number 17. Man, 17 is ready, man. He's always on the edge of his seat. Guy says, oh no, guys, come on, 24, he's always been first. And they said, well, let's find out. Holy, holy, holy. And around that throne on 24 seats, those guys go, Lord God Almighty. And those elders go, which was and is to come. And 24 elders, woo, up they go, down go their crowns. Number 22 beats them all. I got to tell you this. This is my thought. I know when I say this, oh, I never thought of that. But yeah, but you never thought. Some of my thoughts may be frivolous, but you know, I mean, you got to have some leftovers when you're thinking. Now, here's my thought. Okay, here's the scene. The scene opens with the four beasts sounding off, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, which is to come, right? Right? Okay. When they say that, around the throne are 24 seats. On those seats are 24 elders with crowns of gold on their head. Correct? Correct? You got to say yes. Okay. Now, when these four beasts sound off, when they get done, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come, then the 420 elders come off of their seats, cast their crowns at the feet of God, and fall down and worship Him and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord. Correct? Then, for lack of a better word, they reload. Because these four guys, now that the elders are done, the four beasts start all over again. Holy, 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 right? But wait a second. When they say holy, 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 where are the 420 elders? They're on their seats with crowns on their head. Then when they get done, then these guys come off the seats, cast their crown to the throne, and they worship the Lord. Then these guys start all over again, but these guys are seated with crowns on their head. Right? Where'd they get the crown? They cast their crown at the Lord's feet, right? when they're sitting down, they got a crown on their head. Where'd they get the crown on their head? Now, I could only think of two places or two ways they could have a crown on their head after they threw their crown at the feet of the Lord and worshiped Him. They did one of two things. They grabbed the crown that they just cast at the Lord's feet, put it back on their head, and sat back down so these guys could sound off again. Now, when I say that, I get these very pious people that go, well, no, because that'd be like giving it to God to take it back. Okay, then they leave it there. Then how'd they get the one on their head? Well, they must have a box of crowns. Well, they must. But then if that's true, if they don't put this crown on their head, don't you reckon over the eons, those crowns are going to stack up around that throne? Unless there's like a crown drain. Now, these are the only two scenarios that I could think of. I tried to think of everything I could, and then one day after church, a guy came up to me, and he's a Polack. And, you know, God bless the Polacks. You got to appreciate somebody that braids their armpits before they go bowling. And he said, now, you think it's either they put their crown back on their head or they got a box of crowns beside their throne. I said, well, that's the only two things I can think of. He said, I got an idea. I said, what? Because for a Polack to have an idea, we were starting writing this down. Anyway, he said, you ever go bowling? A crown return. They cast their crown at the Lord's feet. They sit down. On it goes. Now he said, now don't sit there. Now don't sit there right now and go, well, I just don't think. That's exactly right. You don't think. Well, I don't think any of those three are right. You don't think at all. Try thinking. If you don't like scenario one or two or three, go home. Don't come up to me after church and pontificate on something you never thought about until tonight. Don't turn your TV on when you go home. Go to the author of this book, get down on your knees, and say, I think Gip is nuts on what he thinks. Why don't you tell me what the truth is, and I'll tell Gip tomorrow. And if it's a plan 4 or D, I'll take it, okay? I'll at least consider it next time I preach this message. But guys, this goes on over and over and over. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Spoke the universe into existence. Right? You know what's happening? Twice a minute when he was doing that. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Doesn't it say on the seventh day God rested? They didn't. It doesn't say they did. This has been continuous over and over and over and over. I was talking to this fella. He's a friend of mine. He is a retired 3-star general. And he's out now. But he was in the early 90s, and he told me this. I think it was February 1991. He was addressing a large gathering of officers. And you know when a 3-star general gets up, you know what you do? Nothing. I'll tell you one thing you don't do. You don't get up and walk out and say, well, it's good as they hit you. You're not doing it, okay? And so this guy is, he's addressing his officers, and he said, while I was talking to him, he said, a junior officer stepped in the door back there. You just don't do that. And he said, he stepped in the door and walked all the way to the side, and began to walk all the way up this auditorium. And he said, of course, as he came, every row that he passed, suddenly all eyes are on him. That's not what you do to a 3-star general. He said, and you know, he said, he was already thinking of what he was going to do to this kid's career. And he said, he walked up, got right here, and came right up the platform that I was standing on, walked up to me, had a piece of paper in his hand, and walked up to me and interrupted my address to these officers. He said, I was ready to kill him. He said, I didn't know what he had on his mind, but whatever it was not more important than what I was telling these men. He's a 3-star general. He said, he walked up to me and said, sir, he said, I took the slip of paper out of his hand. He said, I read it. And he said, gentlemen, you are dismissed. We are at war. He had just gotten word that they had crossed the green line into Iraq and Gulf War I had just begun. What that guy had to say was very important, but there was something so important that it interrupted what he had to say. You understand there's nothing so important that it interrupts what these four beasts say. You understand there's nothing down here that happens that is so important that up in heaven they go, no kid, look at that. Look. You know, I mean, it doesn't happen. Creation was great, but it didn't stop them. The flood. You know, one of the things I tell people, I like my God, guys. I mean, I love God, but I like my God. You know, it's like you love your husband, you love your wife, but then there are things that you like about them. You know, one of the things I like about my God, our God has a flair for the dramatic. He does. Does he not have a flair for the dramatic? I'll give you an example. He's seated on his throne. He looks down here in Genesis chapter 6. And he sees this earth and he says, I've had it. I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill them all. And here's Michael. Michael's a hitman, brother. He's the archangel and he's the guy with the sword. And listen, I don't believe an angel's visiting people and saying, I'm so-and-so. But if one ever visits you and says, I'm Michael, it's over, pal. You want Gabriel. He's the one that talks. If Michael shows up, no talking. And I could just see Michael looking to his angels and saying, okay, guys, get your swords out. We're going to go down and kill them. God says, whoa, put them swords back. What are you doing? Well, you said you want them all dead. We're going to go down and kill them. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't say swords. Well, how are you going to kill them? Let me think. You ever heard of rain? You know how the water comes up from the ground now? I'm going to have it kind of reverse where it's going to come down from the sky. Wait till you see this. And 40 days and 40 nights it rained. You know it never rained before? 40 days and 40 nights, and only 8 people got out alive. Isn't that true? Our God has a flair for the dramatic. But all the time that flood was going on, for those 40 days and 40 nights, 2 times every minute, up in heaven, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. He looks down at Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboiim, Zoar. He said, I'm going to kill them. Sodom and Gomorrah, that's the original Hebrew for San Francisco. He said, I'm going to kill him. And I can just see Michael go, okay, guys, open the water valves. God said, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you said you want to kill him. Yeah, but I already did water. Well, what are you going to do? Huh? Hold it. No water. Oh. You ever seen fire and brimstone from heaven? This is kind of like fireworks in reverse. Isn't that what it was? Brother, I'll tell you what, God let off his fireworks and those cities went up in flames. Our God has a flair for the dramatic. But when Sodom and Gomorrah and Admah and Zeboiim went up in flames, you know what went on in heaven? I am telling you, nobody in heaven, those four beasts didn't go, oh my, look down there. Look at the fireworks. You know what they said? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And all the things that take place in the Bible, Israel being chosen as God's chosen people. Guys, I still believe Israel is God's chosen people. I've got enough scripture in my Bible that I can claim I don't need to try to pick Israel's pocket, push them out of the picture, and pretend that their verses are mine. I've got enough for me. I don't need to steal them from them. I was talking to a guy, you know, and all the killing and the peace-loving Muslims killing everybody over there. And he said, aren't you worried about Israel? I'm sorry, guys. I never worry about Israel. Their future is guaranteed. I would only worry about Israel if I lived over there and I wore a tablecloth on my head held on by a fan belt. I'll tell you whose continuance is not guaranteed. Our future is not guaranteed. So I might worry about this country. I don't worry about Israel. And God chose Israel. And then you have Israel going down into Egypt and becoming slaves and then being freed and then 40 years in the wilderness. All that time, they never stopped. Why don't you read your Bible? You need to read your Bible. You know what you need to do? You need to read your Bible and remember two things. All the time, everything you're reading about was happening twice a minute. God was getting praised. Then you need to think about the second thing. All the time you were reading about what you were reading, twice a minute, God was being praised. Israel, the defeats, the 400 silent years. You've heard about the 400 silent years between the closing of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. Guys, down here it was silent. Men would pray, and you know what they heard from God? They heard nothing. No prophet showed up. Nobody came down and said, God told me to write this. I mean, for 400 years, man never heard a thing. They call it 400 silent years. It was silent if you were here. Let me tell you what was going on. Two times every minute for those 400 years. It was, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And all the time, the things that took place in the Old Testament, during the ministry of Jesus Christ. Brother, there's amazing things. You know how I know that our world system is of the devil? Because if they were not of the devil, they would at least consider Jesus Christ and Christianity as an option. You know, if you were really concerned about the hungry people in the world, wouldn't you want to study somebody who could take 5 loaves, 2 fish and feed 5,000 guys in their family? And all the time that things took place in the ministry of Jesus Christ, this was going on. Holy, 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 Lord God. It's continuous, guys. Not stopped. Nothing down here changed it, even the crucifixion. The book of Acts. The death of the first martyr, Stephen. Paul getting saved on the road to Damascus. And then beginning to write the epistles and completing our New Testament. And John putting that last period in the book of Revelation. Guys, when all of that took place, two times a minute, in heaven, God was getting this kind of praise. It didn't stop for nothing. I think of the things that took place in world history. You know, we hear about the Inquisition. The Inquisition, there were two great victims of the Inquisition. Christians and Jews. The Inquisition was a Roman Catholic machine where they just got you in there, and if you were a Jew, they killed you. And if you were a Christian, they killed you. You say, what for? They didn't need a reason. They made one up. They'd bring you in, they'd figure something out, and off you'd go. And so, look, guys, I was in Scotland a few years ago, and I was at Martyr Square. Martyr Square was where Mary, Queen of Scots, was beheading the Christians, and I was there at Martyr Square where hundreds of Christians, a monument, where hundreds of God's people had their heads taken off by Mary, Queen of Scots. Brother, I'll tell you, that will bring silence to you if you stand there. But it didn't bring silence to heaven. As those martyrs, one after the other, there went ahead. Somewhere up in heaven, somebody brought a note up to one of those beasts. They handed it to him. You know what that beast did? He took a look at it about those martyrs dying, and he went, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. You know why? Because it's not about us. It's not about human suffering. It's not about our happiness. It's not. Why do we say we don't like the world's idea of world peace, and yet we exalt our own idea and our own goal of world peace? It's not about that. You say, but those were God's people. Yes, they were God's people. But up in heaven, it's all about God. The wars of Europe, the discovery of this country, all those things that took place, nothing stopped them up there. Our revolution. Call a revolution, call a war for independence. You know, I had somebody tell me, well, you know, it was a revolution. God's never in a revolution. I said, really? I read about Jeroboam. There's a guy that rebelled, and he was of God. You got to read your Bible before you make a statement, a dogmatic statement. And our revolution, you know what that was? That was the birthing of the greatest nation in history. You say, you think this nation was greater than Israel? I think America has been greater than Israel was in her heyday. The difference is America someday will pass and Israel will again be exalted. They still are God's chosen people. You know what is amazing about our country? Our country, I don't think there is a nation in this world that this country has not helped in some way. Even the ones that hate us. I was talking to a young man in the Army some years ago, and he said he was being shipped out. And this was before the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, Gulf wars. And he said his unit was being shipped out. And I said, where are you going? And he told me some little African country about the size of this pulpit, you know. And I said, do we have an army base there? He said, no. I said, is there like a revolution or a war going on that they're shipping you there? He says, no. I said, why are they sending you to that little African country? He said, my outfit builds water purification plants for the army. You know, when our guys go into Iraq, we have a whole unit that just builds the water purification plants so that our guys can drink the water. And he said, we build water purification plants for the army. And he said, that little African nation, the water is so bad, the people are dying from it. And he said, our government is sending us over there. We're building two water purification plants, which will be enough to purify the water for that entire country. That's the country you live in. And it was made that way because of this Bible. And that revolution birthed this great country. And I'll guarantee you, man, when England finally surrendered, there was dancing in the streets. There were hallelujahs. There was praise. There was celebration. And word came. Got a little piece of paper. Walked up to one of those beasts. You know what he did? He said, huh, look at that. And he threw it aside. You know what it said? The United States of America has been founded. Didn't mean a thing to him. You know why? Because he's not up there about the United States of America. He's not up there about you. He's not up there about me. I'm sorry. Okay, you be self-centered. You let it be all about you, but you let it be about you down here. But up there, he took that thing about the birth of our country. He set it down and he said, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It's continuous. It never stops. World Wars 1 and 2. We talk about Vietnam. 52,000. I think it's up a little now. 52,000 men died in Vietnam. You know how long it took? 11 years. There was a battle in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. If you ever go east, guys, you ought to go to Gettysburg. Take about 3 days. Takes about 3 days. But you need to go there. There was a battle in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, 3 days in July, 1863. In 3 days, 53,000 men died. Not 11 years. 3 days. Oh, wait a second. You think that's something? World War I and the Battle of the Somme River. In 1 day, 57,000 people died. Guys, that is... I know we think of California, this massive population, but I'm telling you, 57,000 people is a pretty good-sized town. That is a tragedy. That was a tragedy to the world. Somebody came up to those beaks. One of the darkest days in America, in world history. 57,000 men died in 1 day. And nothing was gained by it. They passed that note. They said, look at that. Took a look at that one. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. It is uninterrupted. It goes on over and over. When we landed on the moon, in case you're wondering, yes. The answer to your question is yes. I believe we landed on the moon. I'm telling you guys, I don't know if anything's real. That pulpit's probably not real. Oh, I think it was all fake. I don't. I think we landed on the moon. Didn't do us any good, but we landed on the moon. And, you know, I do think that Armstrong messed up what he's supposed to say. He's supposed to say one small step for a man and one great leap for mankind. And instead he left out the A and he said one small step for man, one great leap for mankind. Didn't make any sense. I'm glad he messed that part up. But when he read the Bible, he did all right. If I'm not mistaken, I think Neil Armstrong saved man. I think he is. Guys. Maybe, you know what probably, when they sent the note up to those four guys, you know what it said when they landed on the moon? They didn't say land on the moon. They said, they're getting close. But it didn't stop what was going on in heaven. Because it's not about the landing on the moon. It's not about atomic bomb over Hiroshima or Nagasaki. It's not about 11-year war in Vietnam. It's not about the election.
of B.O. Our nation now has B.O. What I'm telling you guys, all the things that have happened through history. Oh, listen, I know some of you. You know what you do? On your birthday, you don't go to work because you think your birthday ought to be some kind of a national holiday. And when word came that you were born, I bet they didn't even deliver it. I bet they didn't even deliver it. Guys, it's continuous. I got to say this. I don't like saying this. It's without interruption. It's without interruption during all of the biblical recorded history. It was without interruption during all of world history. And it was without interruption during your personal history. I'm on your side. You know why? Because I'm dirt like you are dirt. I hurt like you hurt. I get scared like you get scared. I'm on your side. Trust me, I am. You say, I want God to do this for me. I want God to do that for you too. I am sorry for your health problem. I don't know what you've got. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody's got an ulcer. Somebody's got diabetes so bad, one of these days alone, taking your toes, then your feet, then your legs below the knees. Some of you've got sick children. Some of you've got, you have got marriage problems or kids with problems. I'm telling you, I am on your side. I don't mean that God is not. You understand? I'm not saying God's not. I'm telling you that I can empathize with every problem you have because I have problems too. And I am sorry about your health problem. And I am sorry about what you've gone through. I am sorry about your broken heart. I am sorry about your personal tragedy. But when word came, 1973, August 23rd, 23-year-old carpenter wasn't paying attention. He's on the second floor of a building, took one step back, did a backflip through the stairwell, fell two stories, busted his ribs, split his skull, broke his neck. I don't know if they put that on a piece of paper and some divine messenger ran that up to heaven, but I'm going to tell you something. The day Sam Gipp broke his neck, they hand that to one of those four bees. You know what he said? He said, "Holy! Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." I'm sorry about the things that have happened that have broken your heart. I am sorry that your father was a wretch. I am sorry that your parents' marriage was such a mess. I am sorry about all the things that you tell everybody that's what made you so bad. I am sorry. Maybe it did. I am just telling you guys, you didn't stop heaven. Because what's going on up there isn't about you. Can we please let God be the center of something? Can we at least have Him rule in heaven? Because we sure don't let Him rule even in our own lives. We say we believe He's God, and we say we're supposed to serve Him, but we don't let Him rule. And when something does happen in our lives, we shake a fist and call Him, "You say you love me and you let this happen." Some of you said some dastardly things to this God you say you love. But up there, nothing's changed. I like this chapter because it's all about God. I like this chapter because it's without interruption. You know why I like this chapter? I'm going to see this. I'm going to see this. I've seen some things, not a lot. I got to see one of the things I always wanted to see. You know what it was? I know this sounds like a dumb little thing. I always wanted to see a World War II relic where it ended. Back in 1990, I was preaching on a little island in the South Pacific, Kosrae, Micronesia. We're driving down the beach road. There's a rusted out little two-man Japanese tank. I mean, the thing's just a tiny little thing. Rusted out. It looked like a planter. I mean, it had holes blown in it filled with dirt and plants coming out of it. Best thing ever happened to a Japanese tank. I was in New Guinea some time ago. And we walked into the jungle, and there was a Japanese plane been shot down during World War II. I just think that's neat. There's some things I would like to see that I've never seen. I would love to go to Easter Island and see those big heads. I don't know why I have a... You know what I'm talking about? If you don't, well, what's that? Well, if you turn your TV on and study something, you might find out.
But in the Pacific, there's a little island off the coast of Chile. Easter Island belongs to Chile. And I just like to go to Easter Island. I just like, they got these great big old heads, man. You say, who made them? I don't know. Probably somewhere around Genesis 6. I'd like to see those. Probably never see them. I always wanted to go to the Arctic. I got to the Arctic. I got there and thought, why did I want to go to the Arctic? If there was ever a place that I was ever at where these words naturally came to mind, I would look out at the Arctic every morning. And these words, I did not think this. They came to me. God-forsaken wilderness. There's no trees. There's no dirt. It's rocks. I mean, it is a horrible place. There's a missionary up there, man. I mean, he has been up there for 30 years. Just plugging away. Built. There's four main villages on the north slope on the coast of Alaska. And this guy has built, put a church in every single one of those. He built a church in Point Lay. I mean, built the building. You know what they did? They did a core sample. They went down 20 feet. You know what they found? They found when they pulled this core sample 20 feet out, the first 3 feet were sand and the next 17 were ice. It ain't even built on land. It's built out on ice. Brother, they're praying they don't have an earthquake. There's some places I'd like to see. But you know what I really look forward to seeing? I may see the things down here that I want to see, and I may not see the things I want to see. But I'm going to see this. Because I'm going to heaven, guys. Not anything I've done, not being a Baptist, not being a preacher, not getting baptized. Look, guys, that water doesn't fireproof you. All that water, get baptized. If you're not saved, all that means when you get baptized is that when you go to hell, you'll sizzle for a few seconds. But one of these days, one of two things is going to happen to me. I am going to breathe my last breath, drop over, preaching or not preaching, whatever the case may be. I'm going to breathe my last breath. I am going to die. My soul is going to go to heaven. I'm going to see that. Or, one of these mornings, I'm going to get out of bed for the last time. I'm going to see one more sunrise than I see sunsets. Somewhere during that day, I'm going to hear those three words I read earlier, come up hither. I've often theorized, I can't prove this, but I've often theorized that there's going to be two more words just ahead of that. I'm going to hear, Sam, get. You could be working in the engine room of a ship, where the pistons are the size of this pulpit. You know, I like cars. And I just got to tell you this. I like cars, and I hate this phrase. You hear these new cars, you go, listen to that high whining four-cylinder. I don't want a stinking high whining four-cylinder. I want eight pistons. I want them in a V. I want them driving the rear wheels like God intended. And for all you young guys, the pistons are the size of a coffee can, not the stupid exhaust pipe. We had that big Ford, it had a V10. Somebody said, why'd you get a V10? I said, because they didn't make a V12. So I'd get a V75. I don't care, brother. I'll tell you why I got a V10, because they said V8's archaic. You need a 4 or 6. I said, I'll take one of each. I like pistons. I went into this machine shop to have some engine work done. There was a piston this big around. It had the crank, or had the connecting rod. It stood. It was. He had the piston laying on his head, open, and here's the connecting rod. I said, what's that on? He said, railroad locomotive. I said, you get me four of those, I'll take a four cylinder. I read about a race car that Ford had. It was a four cylinder. Had it 1915, and it had, you guys know what a Ford 289 is? One cylinder, the cubic inches, was 289 cubic inches. One cylinder, something like 1,100 cubic inches. Whoa, that's a serious four cylinder. I'd get excited about that. You know, you could be working right next to one of those big old things. I mean, they got pistons the size of that piano. Boom, 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 where the guy next to you is yelling in your face and you still can't hear what he's saying. And at that moment, a voice like you've never heard before, that moment will say your name, you're going to hear your name, and you're going to hear, come up hither. Trust me. You can have your eyes closed. You can be asleep. You can be under the ocean. You can be on top of a mountain. You can be in an airplane. You can be next to the noisiest thing there is. If you can't hear what any man says, where you can't even think straight, but you're going to hear those words when they say, you're going to hear a trumpet, man. You're going to hear a trumpet, and you're going to be doing something, you're going to go, but half the place, half the guys there ain't going to see it. But you look over and somebody else just looks at it. I bet you're saved, aren't you? Yeah. Do you think that is what I think it is? Yeah, we're about to leave here. I am going to heaven either by death or by the blessed hope. And when I do, I get to see this. Now, I'm going to tell you something you don't believe, but I'm going to prove my point. I know you think this has not happened, but this is still true. It has happened. You people in this church have changed your doctrine. You have changed what you believe. You say, oh, I have not. Yes, you have. You have changed what you believe. Let's see if this is not true. You know what you used to think? I know you never said this. I said you used to believe this. You never told people. But you believed up in heaven. Now, don't we believe, doesn't the Bible say that God is recording every idle work? He's recording every single work, correct? And you thought that there was a divine library in heaven, and on those shelves were a bunch of Super 8 films of your life. You believed that until VCRs came out. Then you changed your doctrine. You didn't think there were films anymore. You thought there was a bunch of VCRs up there. And then not long ago, you changed your doctrine again, didn't you? Now you think they got DVDs. I was having some traction. Before my surgery, I was having this young man do some traction, and I had a tape. And I gave it to him. He's 24 years old. This kid took a cassette tape out of my hand, and he went like this. I think my grandmother has a tape player. I'll listen to this at her house. I left that place. I went home. I got on the phone. I called my guy at my publishing company, and I said, don't buy another blank tape. I said, make all the tapes you have. Don't buy any more blanks. Get rid of all the VCRs, all the tapes. It's over. We're doing nothing but DVDs and CDs. And so now here's what you believe. You believe that up in heaven is a divine library where your life is recorded. And the reason why this happened is in there. You know, somebody asked this to that lady. They called her Mother Teresa. I don't know. I don't know if she was a mother, and I don't know if she was Teresa. They live under an alias. She might have been Betty. And she was getting old, and they said something about her dying. And here's what she said. I mean, you talk about arrogant. You know, she's a humble woman. You know what she said? Well, when I get up there, God's got some questions to answer. You better watch yourself, dirtball. Who do you think you are? You're going to go up and you're going to demand an answer of this holy God? You know what some of you got? You won't say it, but somewhere you got a little list. Maybe you got a big list. I don't know exactly what's on your list. Lord, why did that happen? Lord, why did we have the house fire? Lord, why did the first lady say no? Why did my company shut down and put me out of work for 2 years? You know what you got? Every one of you, you got this little secret list. You think you're going to go to heaven, and you're going to go, all right, now look, I want you to explain why this happened and why this happened and why this happened. Here's what I think is going to happen. The Lord's going to come back, or you're going to die. You got your little important list. You're going to step in those pearly gates. About the time you enter, you know what you're going to notice? Oh man, I really hate to tell you this, bucko. But the first thing you're going to notice when you step into heaven, you're going to be looking at everybody from behind. They're not all running up, oh, it's you, it's you. They're going to be looking at somebody else almost like somebody in heaven is more important than you are. You're going to step in there and everybody's got their back turned to you and they're focused on something else. Don't they realize you're here? And you're going to go, you know, well, I want to find out what this line is. I got to get in line. I want to get my questions answered because I want to know why. And about the time you're doing that, you're going to hear this. You'll be looking at your questions and saying, I got to get up here, you know. I'm going to ask him why. While you're doing that, you're going to hear this. Holy, holy, holy. Imagine that resounding out over heaven. As that rumbles like thunder through the glory of heaven, you're going to go, Lord God Almighty. You're going to go, which was and is to come.
About that time, I think you're going to take your little important question. You're going to go. Maybe you'll do it just in time. You get down on your knees, down on your face and say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. I'm going to see this. I might not see everything down here I want to see. I might not do everything I want to do. But I'm going to see this. I may not meet an important person in my life. I've seen a couple of them at airports. You fly around, you see some face that you've seen. And I've seen Tom Landry on a plane one time. I saw some guy, a UFC fighter. You know, I went slapped in. But, yeah, you can do it in an airport. They can't do anything. But I'll tell you something, guys. I'm going to see this. You know, your pastor, he already told you, he asked me, what's my favorite song? Now, please understand, will you please bear with me? I appreciate the blood of Christ. I appreciate what can wash away my sins. What? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I appreciate the blood of Christ. I appreciate Calvary makes a difference. I appreciate victory in Jesus. I appreciate that I have a mansion over a hilltop. You understand? But you know what my problem is? They're about us. We call this a hymn book. I'm not sure we shouldn't call it an us book. I will guarantee you that 999 out of 1,000 hymns that we sing are about us. You say you love the Lord and you appreciate Him. Well, all you appreciate is your salvation. You only think He's good because He's done something for you. Do you understand that if you were on your way to hell right now, He'd still be worthy of the worship He's getting? In fact, if you were on your way to hell and you stood there at the white throne judgment, the wisest thing you could do before you were pitched into hell forever is say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is to come. I like to sing about the blood. I like to sing about Christ and the cross and victory. I like it. I'm telling you, I like it. But sometimes I like one that's not about me. Sometimes I like one that it isn't about my salvation. It isn't about my new life. It isn't about my sins being washed away and me being made whiter than snow. It isn't about my home in heaven. I just like a hymn that's about Him. You bear with me. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore Thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before Thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide Thee, though the eye of sinful man Thy glory may not see. Only Thou art holy, there is none thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Stand up and open it to 224, and let's give God the last verse. You notice it's not about the blind? You notice it's not about your salvation? This song, it's not about you. It's not about being saved. It is all about Him. Let's give Him. Give Him the best you got. Would you? Sing this like you really think you are standing in front of the throne and call Him holy.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all Thy works shall praise Thy name in earth and the sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God in three persons, blessed Trinity.